What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, managing editor. Fightful.com, FightfulWrestling.com. It's that time, the first ever Fightful Report. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of background about why I'm doing this show, when it will air, some behind-the-scenes stuff. We're going to cover the weekly. We're going to cover the injury report. We're going to cover any changes to the contract expiration article. We're going to talk some behind-the-scenes Fightful news. A lot of stuff. This is going to be a lot of exclusive content on this show. Sometimes, you know, I drop exclusive nuggets on the Raw, SmackDown post shows, but I wanted something to kind of define and anchor Fightful Select. And The Weekender, which Steven Jensen now does, is largely a review show. We cover the Impacts, the Ring of Honors, BTE, NWA, Lucha Underground, all that stuff. And it got to the point where I was just reviewing wrestling. And when you have 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, an hour of 205 Live, an hour of NXT, and 2 hours of NXT UK, you've got an hour of Lucha Underground, two of Impact, one of Ring of Honor, and then another hour covering anything digital. That's 20 hours a week when there aren't pay-per-views. Now keep in mind, I pop up on podcasts and I do, gosh, the Monday Raw show for an hour, the SmackDown show for an hour, MMA for an hour, Listen Your Boy an hour and a half. The Weekender was an extra hour. So, I mean, right out of the gate, about 30 hours of my week was watching and reviewing wrestling. And I've not exactly made it a secret, the schedule that it takes to run Fightful, but when so much of that is compromised by just reviewing wrestling and just me, one voice, I didn't think that was fair to me or the viewer. I think that we need multiple voices. We need a Warren Hayes. We need a Steven Jensen. We need Alex Palowski and Jeff Hawkins and all these other people, Anna Boward and Trina, to share their voices as well. That way you're not getting one linear view of professional wrestling from one person. It's more spread out. It's more fair. It's a little more different. I'm less likely to get burned out. I'm still taking in all this stuff, but I don't have to sit in front of a camera and review it. This show, audio only, I did that because I don't want to blow up your all's feeds with a video post and then an audio post and all that stuff. We're still going to keep the 205 Live show live. I think the NXT UK show will post as one thing, but yeah, man, this is a big weekend for Fightful. UFC 231 is a big show, so make sure you all check us out for that. Warren Hayes will have another full-on NXT UK podcast this week, so lots of stuff to get into. And let's go ahead and jump right into the weekly. Now, for those of you unfamiliar, the weekly is about 1,000 words that I drop every Friday early in the morning. I'm all the time doing interviews. I'm all the time getting backstage information and some tidbits, stuff like that. I might throw in some Fightful behind-the-scenes info there. But sometimes it's stuff that maybe you overlooked. Maybe I didn't put into an article. Maybe was a while back that kind of went skimmed over and I can really approach and talk about at length on this podcast and give you all some background. First out of the gate, Jordynne Grace. We had talked to Jordynne Grace a while back, and she talked about how she's published a book about the creepy direct messages that she's received as a pro wrestler. And despite the fact that she has this listed in the bio of her Twitter page, she still received enough more to continue the series. In the interview, she opened up to Fightful and provided advice to women who experience the same things that she does as a pro wrestler. Because the thing is, there's this weird dichotomy in pro wrestling where, and we see it all the time with Melissa or Anna. I don't know what it is psychologically about people who watch wrestling or watch wrestling shows, but they assume, wow, she's got a vagina and she likes wrestling. I better tell her she's hot. And I don't understand that, man. Like, hey, if you want to develop a personal relationship with somebody, sure, go ahead. But, I mean, it's so weird. Like, check it out. Anytime Melissa's on camera, anytime Anna's on camera, you always get those comments. Is it wrong to call somebody beautiful or hot? No, I don't think so. But it always happens in pro wrestling. I'm sure it happens in gaming and a bunch of other stuff, too. But it happens with women's wrestlers, too. I don't know if what it is. Like, maybe they assume, oh, she's involved in pro wrestling, so maybe I have a chance. Maybe you do. I don't know. But it's just an odd stance to take. When we asked about the Mae Young Classic, Jordan said that she would love to perform in the tournament, but doesn't think that that's in the cards for her anytime soon. She did just sign an Impact Wrestling deal. She is working a lot of other promotions. She's been battling an ankle injury and planned to take time off through the end of the year, but she rescinded that a little bit. So she competed for Impact Wrestling through her first set of tapings with that injured ankle, but seems like she's doing okay now. Fightful's James Lynch spoke to Dan Lambert again recently. That's a name that you all will see pop up a lot. You'll see Dan Lambert's name pop up a lot and Colby Covington. Well, why is that? Well, Colby Covington's a world champion in UFC, so we speak to him anytime that we can. He can talk about pro wrestling and MMA, as can his manager, Dan Lambert. Now, Lambert revealed to us that Covington was targeted to fight next month at UFC 233. Nothing has been announced, but Dan Lambert was an integral part of Impact Wrestling last year. I thought was an excellent part. I love the American Top Team angle. I thought it was a great way to involve Bobby Lashley and Moose and Stephen Bonner and Colby Covington, all these people. He has a lot of high-profile members of American Top Team in huge fights coming up soon. He was asked about getting back into pro wrestling, as we do anytime we talk to him after leaving Impact. But he was quick to admit he's very realistic about this. He said WWE has plenty of mixed martial arts star power between Ronda Rousey and Brock Lesnar. And he said that he would jump at the opportunity to work with WWE, but he thinks that they have their fill. It is really refreshing to hear somebody like that. And most of the MMA fighters we speak to about this are down to earth about this. But he doesn't joke around. He knows that even though he had a successful run, and even though Colby Covington is an interim champion, Rousey and Brock Lesnar are Rousey and Brock Lesnar, man. They are what they are. They are the star power. They have that. Lambert said that Colby Covington would like to get involved in WWE, but isn't sure how that would necessarily mesh with what he's doing in the UFC. He knows that Covington has definitely opened up the lines of communication very well as he visited Raw in Miami and made some public statements about wrestling. But didn't say for sure what was going to go on there. Lambert and American Top Team haven't appeared for Impact in quite a while, but Lambert spoke very highly of them and their current product, and he said that just because Impact isn't number one in the wrestling world doesn't mean that they don't have talent on par with those in WWE. Says that he still watches the show and says that he is never too busy to watch wrestling, put over Impact's production, talent, storylines, and much more. He wasn't as kind to WWE's current storylines, but said that he was a big fan of Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles' work over there. Me personally, and this is my opinion, I will specify that when I give my own opinion, I don't think either have been too hot lately, WWE or Impact, although I did really enjoy SmackDown last night. So I'm not surprised to hear him put over Impact because, you know, that is another line of income for him and his fighters. So of course he's going to speak sugar about them. You could always bring them back. Lambert said that Becky Lynch's persona and attitude has impressed him and seemed really bummed that she got hurt. He likes her finisher, her mic work, and her in-ring ability, and he says that a lot of the names in MMA that would translate well to pro wrestling haven't had the opportunity to let their personality shine through, at least as of yet. Got some Asuka news, and I kind of dropped this on the SmackDown Live podcast. Fightful was told this week that Asuka's renewed push and position on SmackDown Live is in large part due to the reaction that the live crowd gave her the night that Becky Lynch announced that she was injured and out of the Survivor Series match. We had joked on the live post show that if they went by the Taboo Tuesday method of voting, which is a legit voting method that WWE utilized for Taboo Tuesday and Cyber Sunday back in the day, where they would provide a series of options and the fans would vote. If that were the case, then Asuka would have been the replacement. Her ovation, like, just dwarfed that of Charlotte Flair's. And Charlotte Flair is over, as we saw on SmackDown Live. All three of these women are over. A source told us that Vince McMahon was caught off guard by the fact that Charlotte Flair didn't get a bigger reaction than Asuka. And saw an opportunity to integrate the Royal Rumble winner into the Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair feud in the aftermath of Survivor Series. We were not told if Vince was actually there that night of the reaction, but we were told that he was surprised by that. And that several other people backstage were surprised about it too. But not like a unanimous thing. A lot of people know that Asuka was going to get a positive reaction, but that just seems to be the way it happens. People disappear, they come back, all of a sudden they're over. And hey, you could do a lot worse in wrestling than that. Just wish that viewership was up. Had some Fightful news. I had mentioned that we added new features to Select and the main site. We're working to make the main website faster, so you may notice some things have moved around. Some things are a little different than they were before. This podcast is going up. We have Steven Jensen on the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. We're also going to move I filmed several editions of alternate fight commentary that were going to air as Fightful Select features. I have learned that, I mean, quite frankly, you all don't care about those as much. So what I'm going to do is move some of those over to the new MMA channel and do that. And what I'll do instead is film some more alternate fight commentary. But what we're going to do is film them that have talent that are in pro wrestling. So you'll see some Jessamyn Duke stuff. You'll see some Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey stuff. You'll see like Razor from Authors of Pain. Our UFC rankings breakdowns will also be on the MMA and boxing channel now. Just another thing that I've learned that our Fightful Select audience doesn't seem... It's not one of the things that draws you all here or anything like that. So figured that we would open it up. It's going to be a Fightful MMA podcast feature now. Some Tribute to the Troops news. If you all subscribe, you all saw that I had a couple of news bits on the Tribute to the Troops show last week ahead of the filming, including the air date of December 20th and the SmackDown Women's Tag Team match of Absolution against Becky and Charlotte. We were told that several superstars that live in the area volunteered to come out for the show, and Texas has become like a popular new living area for some wrestlers. As far as other superstars go, Paige was said to be a big hit at the show interacting with the troops. We're told there weren't any huge heart-stopping matches, but the show itself was a fun one. That airs on December 20th, rather. You may have noticed on Select that I solicited questions for Tessa Blanchard. I think it's Dan McLean of Women of Wrestling, WOW on Access. There was a little bit of a snafu this week in dealing with Access. I was set to interview Tessa Blanchard, who I've actually never interviewed and really want to. I really enjoy her work. But she withdrew the day prior, and we were told she wouldn't be doing any media. And when getting notified of this change, the company sent over a first look clip that I actually posted on my Twitter and Fightful's YouTube page that actually wasn't supposed to go out. I even asked the people at Women of Wrestling and Access, hey, can I post this? Or do you just want me to see this to see it? And they said, no, you can post it. So I did. I got thousands of views between Twitter and YouTube. And then Access hit me up and said, hey, that wasn't supposed to go out. I said, hey, you all told me it was supposed to go out. They said, yeah, that was an accident. So if you got a glance at that early, consider yourself lucky. I may repost that on Fightful Select. But it looks good, man. The production values looks good. The trailer is really great. Has some hilarious like movie-style drops in it, which I thought were kind of funny. But Access admitted their error and kindly asked me to remove it. So no sweat there. I like dealing with Access. They are very positive people. One of my Twitter followers, at Nikki's Cross on Twitter, joked that the Hardy Boys set themselves up for failure with their Twist of Fate. And I tagged Matt Hardy and asked him about this. And there's a tweet that you all may have seen, I think it was early this morning, where Matt joked to me about the changes he's made in recent years to help prevent that. And he said, I deleted the little scream years ago. I snap and twist once my arm goes out. We're going to have a lot more in the Fightful Wrestling Weekly in coming weeks. I did interview McLean of Women of Wrestling and GLOW, actually. So it's interesting that we have that to look forward to. We have a lot of interviews coming up, and obviously it's Christmas season. We're going to have some holiday-themed content on Fightful. I'm talking to Jeff and Warren and Alex about maybe putting together a special end-of-year podcast. I would love to get Anna on there, but unfortunately her schedule is just slammed. Maybe I can get some more names on there, but I'll go ahead and hit you all with the tentative idea. I want to do an absolutely arbitrary Fightful Awards show where I don't discuss anything with these people beforehand, and we arbitrarily hand out awards, some serious, some joking, and we discuss those as well. I think it'd be a good talking point, and all that. Expect some changes to come to some of the Fightful shows up soon. Changes to the contract expiration dates. Let's take a look at this. The Good Brothers, we were told that their contracts expired in 2019, but a new report from PW Insider Elite says that Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows' contract actually expires in the fall of 2019. This is important, obviously, because things are changing around the beginning of the year. I was told a funny story about Carl Anderson. Like, because he's not on TV, he told his kids, "Hey, we're in the off season right now. Don't worry about it." I actually sat behind them at Starrcade. Great kids. Other information that we got. Flip Gordon talked to me a little bit about his contract and about the other expiring contract. Said that he is going to be able to step up and take in a more advanced role if people walk away. And if not, he's going to see that as a bit of a challenge. However, we did learn that Silas Young signed a new 3-year deal with Ring of Honor. His contract was up through the end of the year. I think it's a good move. Silas Young is a character, the last real man of professional wrestling, and he is a type of guy that Ring of Honor needs. He is a good fit for Ring of Honor. I think it's a smart move for him to decide to stick with Ring of Honor. To me, I just see him as a tailor-made fit for that company. You're going to work about 75 dates a year, at least via them, because if you're Silas Young, you are taking some additional stuff, but Ring of Honor runs about 75 dates a year. You're going to work Madison Square Garden. You're 38 years old, so you're going to be there through 41. You may get some New Japan dates as well. I know that he's worked some other stuff here and there. Like, he worked NSPW in Canada in September. He worked UCW in Canada. He's worked the Kali Show in July, I believe it was. And I think he worked an ICW show in Wisconsin, not Insane Championship Wrestling, I don't think. Just an ICW show. So he's not really working that many dates outside of Ring of Honor. And he himself this year has worked about 42 dates, I think it is. And that is way down from last year, because last year it was closer to that 75. So for him, and all that we can say is based on looking at that reduced schedule that he took on this year, you know, maybe his body's not all there. So I think that him signing with Ring of Honor is a great deal, is a great idea. We hear that Shane Strickland's Lucha Underground deal may actually restrict him from signing with WWE when he wants to. Now, here's the interesting thing about Shane Strickland as we look at this. We hear that he's WWE bound, and we also hear that the Lucha Underground deal may prevent him from going at the turn of the year. We hear that he's finishing up with MLW at the middle of this month. But the thing is, he had signed a multi-year deal with MLW a while back, and MLW had issues with WWE contract tampering. So as I'm looking at this, this is just from PW Insider saying that the signing may happen later. I don't see how it could cause an issue. I don't know why it would, but I know that MLW has him scheduled through February, I believe. So it's wild, man. Lots of issues regarding Shane Strickland and what he's got going on, and Just everything that we hear about from him, Lucha Underground and MLW. That's the gift and the curse of having so many bookings. And like I said, being a talent that is everywhere but isn't in WWE but wants to sign for WWE. It's wild, man. It's wild. We also have that injury report. Let's go ahead and talk about that. Pull it up right quick. Remember, we have this resources section that we are really expanding. I've added a new stats article that's going up every week after Raw and SmackDown. That is a feature that I am looking to expand and do more with. I'm a stats guy. I love them. I love little factoids. I do it every year for the Royal Rumble, for WrestleMania. So look for that every Wednesday morning. I'm hoping I can post that. Maybe there's a pay-per-view or something like that, and I do a special one, but it looks like that's a good weekly feature. Not doing the Weekender opened me up to some new projects, so check that out. Also, I posted that full transcript with Dave Lagana. 45 minutes we talked about the NWA. Lots of cool stuff there. I put in a good word for Adrian Thomas, a local Tennessee talent with the NWA, because I've got a pretty good relationship with them. I interview Dave Lagana often, and I said, hey, maybe you want to check out this Adrian Thomas fellow who's a pro fighter and pro wrestler. He lives in Clarksville. They're doing that pop-up show, so I thought that'd be a good thing to do. Injury report. Roman Reigns on Raw announced he was battling leukemia October 22nd. He is sidelined indefinitely. Braun Strowman had elbow surgery in late November. He is expected out several weeks. Triple H tore his pectoral on November 2nd. He had surgery on November 6th. He isn't expected back anytime soon, which is a shame. He's going to miss WrestleMania season. It's wild. If he and Shawn Michaels miss WrestleMania, it'll be the first WrestleMania that doesn't feature one of them since the 80s, which is just nuts to think. I mean, one of those two have been on that show, the grandest stage of them all, every year since the 80s. Alexa Bliss sidelined with a concussion since October 20th. Mark Henry says she's cleared for her return. Jason Jordan recovering from neck surgery. No timetable on his return. We were told this was going to be minimally invasive. As it turns out, he has missed a year of action. Fandango tore his left labrum in early July. He's sidelined until late 2018. Has started training for his return at the Performance Center. Sami Zayn had double shoulder surgery in June 2018. He is targeting a WrestleMania season return in 2019. Kevin Owens scheduled to miss 4 to 8 months after double knee surgery in October 2018. However, he may never recover from that canceled Elton John concert. Goldust has been doing some work as a talent scout for WWE. I mentioned in previous episodes that he appeared at Invicta FC scouting talent. He says the end of his career is nearing after he had double knee surgery in July. Man, he has been at it for 30 years, so Godspeed to him. Over on SmackDown, Rowan tore his right bicep in August. He is expected back in spring of 2019. Luke Harper, his tag team partner, out of action since early October with a wrist injury. He underwent surgery to repair that. Sin Cara had knee surgery on August 14th, rather. He is expected back in the spring if he's lucky. Ty Dillinger sustained a hand injury on October 29th, which required surgery. He began rehab December 3rd, rather. Some of you may have seen the little dust-up I had with him on social media. Ty seems like one of those guys that just does not like wrestling journalists, does not like wrestling media for whatever reason. I don't know what it is. Never said anything, I don't think even negative about his work. I've always pretty well enjoyed his work. But we posted an article. We posted it on Select that he started Search Rehab. And then shortly afterwards, he mentioned it on his gaming stream. So I was like, cool, there we go. Confirmation. Nice. And he saw our report and said, oh, really, am I? And acted like he didn't. So I posted the video of him saying it on his stream. Didn't post a link or anything. And he pretended as if he baited us into doing that. And I'm like, man, we didn't post a link. You didn't drive any traffic to it. This is unusual behavior. I mean, I don't get it, man. It's really weird. We didn't say anything negative. I had a situation a couple of years ago with Tommaso Ciampa where he and I had a bit of a discussion about an article that I wrote for Wrestling Inc. And it was based on a Dave Meltzer report that Tommaso Ciampa had been battling a knee injury as he was looking to get signed by WWE. At that point, he had not been signed yet. And he was not happy about that. Ciampa was just not a fan of the idea that I had posted that article. And he said that he felt the report was done maliciously. And he said, I don't know why. It's bullshit. It's completely unnecessary. The timing wasn't coincidental. And I agreed with him. And he thanked me for fixing the report. And he said, Please don't continue having your sites tweet it and post it. My goal is to not continue to bring more attention to this bullshit report. I was just hoping to address it and hoping it would be buried. And not sure if you guys work with the people who update a million times, but if you do, I just kindly asked them to stop. And I said, you know what? Wrestling Inc. isn't my site. I can't keep them from doing that. I can ask them to stop. But it did put it in perspective for me. There are some situations, like the Becky Lynch thing, I knew that was going to be handled the night of. So when I post a scoop on that, I don't have a problem with that. That's going to be revealed. That I get it. For a situation like Tommaso Ciampa, he was trying to get signed. And I don't want to restrict anybody's ability to make a living in that regard because of a story that you know I may or may not have some insight on. So for the Ty Dillinger thing, me posting while he's under contract that he's about to start rehab, that is not me restricting his ability to earn a living. It's not restricting his ability to get paid. It is an update on his status. If he was about to return, I don't know if I would report that. That would have to be on a case-by-case basis. I've done that before, reporting that an injured wrestler was going to come back, but it really depends on the situation. There are sometimes I avoid reporting things because it's just not worth it. It's not worth me spoiling something that's going to be good for a viewer or the viewers, our viewers, anybody. Sorry for the stutter there. I'm trying to say, I weigh whether it's going to be worth it to our site as opposed to the moment it could help create. But yeah, an unusual situation there with Ty Dillinger. Nothing malicious intended. So I thought that behavior was a little odd. I mean, odd. Tegan Knox tore ACL, MCL, LCL, dislocated or kneecap. Tore both meniscuses. Has no timetable for a return. That's a shame. Here's to her getting better soon. Riddick Moss returned from his injury, his Achilles injury that he sustained earlier this year. We had said early 2019, late 2018. He is worked a little live event program with Matt Riddle, attacked him, and then lost a match. Tino Sabatelli tore his pectoral muscle in late 2018, required surgery. He is out until early next year. Eric Bugenhagen has a concussion. No timetable for a return. Sanjay Dutt tore his right Achilles tendon late last year. Hasn't wrestled since. Has missed all of 2018. I don't know when he's going to be back. Hopefully I can find out soon. Rosemary had an undisclosed knee injury in early February. Looks like she tore her ACL. She is out of action until early next year. Over in Ring of Honor, New Japan, Shibata still battling that subdural hematoma. His in-ring return is still unlikely. We still don't really know a lot about Hiromu Takahashi, who just celebrated his 29th birthday. He landed on his neck and was hospitalized way back in July, so 5 months now. We were told it won't require surgery, but no idea if he's going to be back or not. Hikuleo tore his ACL on March 3rd, has not wrestled since. However, Taiji Ishimori is back in action after an ankle injury left him sidelined all of November. Tennille Dashwood had shoulder surgery in October 2018. She is out until next year. Kudos to Ring of Honor after she injured herself, signing her to a deal. That's A-plus stuff. Cody Rhodes, working with the torn meniscus, surgery planned for January. He had been kind of doing some cutesy stuff on the independent circuit to kind of prevent him from injuring that further, because obviously he's got a couple of big dates coming up. He's got some stuff going on with Ring of Honor next week and maybe New Japan at the beginning of the year, and doesn't want to aggravate that further. So I think it's cool that he and Joey Ryan kind of work together. Joey Ryan, who works for MLW, fractured his elbow. He may have torn his pectoral muscle in early November, so they did some cutesy stuff on some Australian shows to kind of hide that. I think that's great. Still give these people a show, and even traveling with an injury like that can be dangerous. Joey Janela is sidelined up to a year after September 2018 knee injury and surgery. Vanessa Craven broke her leg in late October. That's going to require surgery. Don't expect to see her back anytime soon, probably spring. Marco Stunt broke his leg on November 17th, surgery planned. Unfortunate for a guy who wrestles that kind of style. Maybe his frame contributed to that. He'll be back next year. Here's hoping he can be around WrestleMania weekend, because that would be big for him. Ray Phoenix is sitting out the rest of the year. He has a groin strain. MJF fractured his elbow in late November. He is out 4 to 6 weeks. MLW said that they will strip him of his middleweight title in mid-December if he's not ready to defend that. Now, this is a shame for MJF, who's battled some injuries this year. Made it back for All In. That was a big one for him, but now he's going to lose his MLW title probably. Filthy Tom Lawler broke his hand in an MMA fight on November 24th against Daron Wynn on that Golden Boy card. Surgery not required. I know he's looking to stay in action. This was worst case scenario, was that he lost the fight and hurt himself. Swervo of cinder block fame, hospitalized in November with a blood clot after being hit with that cinder block by DeMonico. If you all have any additions to this, let me know, and we will update it accordingly. I hope you guys like the Fightful Report. Anything else you guys want me to talk about on this show, let me know. I'm looking for it to be at least a half an hour long every week. You still get your Weekender. You still get your NXT 205 Live podcast. I mean, if you look back, guys, all that used to be one show. I used to do one show that covered all that stuff. And now we have turned it into essentially four Fightful Select shows for you guys every week. I want to give you your money's worth. Obviously, you know, I'm surprised that so many people signed up for the $10 tier if we're talking about behind-the-scenes Fightful stuff. And I love that you all did, because, I mean, that's on par with the network and all this other stuff. So I've started to put up more stuff early access for you guys, like match ratings, putting them up early, putting up all kinds of stuff early for you guys. Even if it's a few hours early, you guys deserve that. You all support Fightful the most direct way that you can. And if you want to keep doing it, just letting people know what you like about Fightful Select goes a long way. Thank you guys so much. Until next time, we're out.